there in your thinking lately. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Join me at Acts chapter 8 this morning, please. I want to make a statement and see how you think about the statement. When visiting is happening, evangelism is more likely to occur. When visiting is happening, evangelism is more likely to occur. What do you think about that statement? Kyle?
You mean like us visiting someone?
Yes. Oh, yes. So, yes, let's define that a little bit. Us visiting people, someone. Howard. Okay. I think, Sue? Okay. Could elaborate just a little on that. Okay. Good. Good. Other thoughts? Kyle. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Can visitation involve brothers and sisters in Christ? Let's name a few categories, if we can use that word without being impersonal. Categories of opportunities to visit or people to visit. Go ahead and share some thoughts. Who would be good for us to visit? Do we have any of those in our... Probably, I don't know if I'd count them all on one hand, that are either mostly shut in or partly shut in, right? We have a list of those, by the way. Other category of people that would benefit from somebody calling and saying, can I come over? Lynn. Visitors. So Lynn gives us two. Certainly, those who'd be interested in receiving a visit from us, the visitors that would be interested in being visited. Certainly, in that group, those that are ill, a number of you have contributed meaningfully to the Avery's this week, and well done. Lisa did some coordinating there. Pastor's been there to see them a number of times. And Suzanne? Yes, newly, yes, widowed people. And go ahead. It is. I think that's meaningful to bring up because sometimes you might be on the way someplace and you could say, hey, you know, we've got a little time. Could we stop in and see somebody? Or as opportunities come, open doors was Paul's word. I think if we use the word opportunity so much, I think Paul, as I was pastor was preaching last week, open doors equals opportunity, right? Not Judy? You know anybody that does that well? Excellent. So there's a unplanned. Yes. Anyone else want to share? So we're getting to a passage that might move us a little bit to be more involved in a visitation ministry. In fact, at the end of this lesson, I plan to give an invitation in regards to being involved in ministry. If you think God is doing something in our churches as it relates to reaching out, I think you'll find this chapter to be instrumental in the little prod, maybe, that we need. And wisdom, how to reach out, how to minister. We serve a great and wonderful and glorious transforming God, and to be able to share the news with others. Well, here's the title of the lesson this morning. Are we recording, Pastor? Okay. Develop the habit of visiting. I don't think I'm forcing this on the text. Develop the habit of visiting. In fact, the text would call people, if you follow the example in the passage, it would call people to the ministry of evangelism, evangelistic itinerant, evangelistic ministry, or missions. And wouldn't it be great if God would call people from our church again into the ministry, pastorate, missions, evangelism? If God does that, wonderful. Short of that, we can be moved to do that in our locality. So we see Philip develop the habit of visiting from Philip's example. I observe three components to the habit of visiting. How's the view? Okay? It's clear enough? Okay. Be moving. I see that in the text. Be sensitive. I see that in the text. Be focused. I see that in the text. Let's look at the first few verses. Be moving. Philip goes to Samaria. By the way, we're going to see Philip goes to Samaria. Philip goes to the desert. Philip goes to the cities. The common words in there, the verb go. Go, go, go. And we'll discuss that. Philip goes to Samaria. Acts 8:4, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. This on the heels of the martyrdom, the murder by the Jewish leadership of Stephen. God uses persecution to send the gospel out of Jerusalem. Our Savior said it would be in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Then Philip, verse 5, went down. Catch the excitement, the joy, the meaningful activity in these verses. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Why does it say he went down when Samaria, I wish I could point, Samaria is at the top of the red arrow, and Jerusalem is here. So Samaria is up there, Jerusalem is here. Why did it say he went down to Samaria? Altitude, elevation. So Jerusalem, I did find the elevation of the city of Jerusalem is about 2,500 feet, which is just a little shorter than Mount Sinai, which is 27-something. I don't know what Samaria is, but I suspect that it's lower in elevation. He went down. There are a couple of other words and phrases in this verse. To the city of Samaria and preached Christ. What a focused message about the coming risen Savior and the reason for which he came and the good news of the gospel. But I want you to see the response of the people. We're going to see their response and we're going to see the sorcerer's response, okay? The response of the people, they gave heed. The word gave heed, according to Strong's, comes from two words. One is near or against. Near or against, and the other is to have and hold. By the way, the root word is pronounced echo in English, and it means to have and to hold. So to hold near, they gave heed. They took the word of God instead of just listening, just hearing, just understanding, and held it near. They accepted it. They trusted it. They believed it personally, applied it to their life. With one accord, I want to get in my New Hampshire accent fun with this one all the time, but I'll leave that for another time. It means they had one mind, one passion. They were together, and there was a passion about their response to Christ. Again, quoting from Strong's. In fact, ten of the 12 New Testament occurrences of this word one accord is found in Acts, and it describes the beautiful unity and passion of the church. Think about that. With one, the people with one accord gave heed. There was a passionate togetherness responding in obedience and personalizing the Word of God. But by the way, can you see clearly with me, this is a side of evangelism that we don't think about often enough. We often think about, what if I don't know the answers? Am I going to be able to be clear in my presentation? What if they respond negatively when we think about sharing the gospel? What if I go and they're not home? What if? Well, what if they get saved? Think about that one. What if they get saved? Those who do trust Christ, whose lives are transformed by our gracious God. Notice the power of God to save in verses 9, 10, and 11. This is incredible. In fact, I invite you to count the words that describe the influence the sorcerer had over these people. That's what these verses are about. The influence of the sorcerer. Count the words. But contrast with their response of is this. There was a certain man named Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. Let's not think this is some kind of fake thing like the old TV show. This was a real demonic influence in their lives. We hear about this in Africa. I'm sure it's present in every country in the world. It was real. He used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." You see his influence, the strength of it, the long-term effect of it, the all-inclusive of all the people effect of his influence. And to him they had regard. They respected this individual because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. They were caught in this, enslaved to it. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women, freed from the sorcery. Amen. And many other things we could recount in our own lives. Freed from bondage to sin. The power of God to save. Let's not underestimate. Let's not hold back the power of God to transform, to convert, to save, to deliver people. What is salvation? It's a deliverance from sin and its consequences and the wrath of God. And people need that. Conversion tells us about old things being passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Well, Simon also responds in a certain way. Verse 13, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So this was a new thing in the church as it just began. The Holy Spirit hadn't yet resided permanently in a sealing way in believers, but this was a new thing for the church to experience, and the apostles and other believers had in Jerusalem. But Peter was used of God to bring the Holy Spirit to these people in a miraculous way. This is what took place. Necessary then, but not for people to be involved in that today. We understand from Ephesians and other passages that when we trust Christ, the Spirit of God comes and we're permanently indwelt by the Spirit of God. Simon sees that happening and he offers them money so that he can do the same thing. Well, that's part of his response. And to get a better flavor of the seriousness of his thinking, we hear Peter, verse 18, "And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, and on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.' But Peter said unto him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness.'" Peter just goes on and on after this guy. I don't question his going on. I'm simply understanding there is something seriously wrong with Simon. "And in the bond of iniquity, then answered Simon and said, 'Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come unto me.' And they," Peter and John, "when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." So Simon responds. What I want you to understand is we're in a form of literature in the book of Acts called a narrative that might be apparent to most. But I'll just mention it. The epistles are a different form of genre. But here we're looking in a narrative. And many times narrative writers emphasize by showing a contrast. The contrast is the response of the people and the response of Simon. This is the way to behave as converted believers, not this way. Helpful for us today in our discernment of who to listen to on the radio, who to read, who to watch on television, if we're in those things at all. This is the way, not this way. For us to be like Philip, who went down to Samaria, involves be moving. Years ago in our church in Shelburne, we had an emphasis, actually it was in Rochester, Ohio, on evangelism for some time. And we used a little chorus. Maybe some of you have heard it. It's "Across the street, across the sea, Lord, a worker in your harvest I will be." We delight to send missionaries, and they delight to hear that we're doing the work here also. We're responsible to honor our Lord in that, if it's across town, across the street, across the neighborhood, across the county. And so we could think about be moving. Be moving. In the wintertime, when the sun is out a little bit later in the day, it's easier to think about getting out a little bit. And some are maybe starting to do some outdoor activities and tapping trees and maybe a little fishing or some other kinds of things. The idea of maybe inviting others across the fence or across town or finding ways to connect. And that we would be moving, that we would be out intentionally visiting. And if it's visiting fellow believers, brothers or sisters or others or shut-ins, seeking to spend time. God gave me an opportunity last Saturday to spend time with a friend, fishing, looking for that opportunity to talk with him about the Lord. If it's in Warner or Ware, New Boston or Loudoun, Hopkinton, Mount Vernon, Antrim, Vermont, or a number of other places, out from our homes, out from our routines, connecting with others, visiting, be moving. Secondly, we find that Philip goes to the desert. I find this to be very meaningful as well. Verse 26. We want to talk about the sensitivity of Philip to God. And I trust that this will be something that, along with the other messages today, we'll take home and think about and listen and meditate on. See what the Scripture says to us here. And there's an example for us to follow. And if God calls us into the ministry, great. If he doesn't, this is not just for those who go to the ministry. This is for every believer. to follow Philip's example and be involved in visiting people. And the angel of the Lord, verse 26, spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So here's our map again. Here's where he was in Samaria. There's Jerusalem. Now he's headed off in this direction in the desert. And the angel of the Lord sent him on his way. And verse 27, he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority. Boy, the questions come to mind. What happened as a result of this guy getting saved? How much of Africa was affected by his witness? And amazing. What was God doing? Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And what do we see next? And Philip what? See any 2x4s or fence posts in this? No. Did he have to be told 3 times? 4 times? No. Did he have to be told a long time? No. Philip responded each time. That's sensitivity to the Spirit of God. Respond each time. It would be fun to talk about the times the Spirit has prompted you and me to leave a tract, to share the gospel. The other night I had an opportunity, doggy evangelism. Anybody use that? I was in Lowe's and Remy was with me and people like Remy. So I rounded the corner to come out the door and here's this checkout lady at the contractor sales. Oh, can I pet your dog? Yeah, sure. Nobody else was around. Generally, if there's a crowd, I hesitate to hand a tract. That's me. Maybe you wouldn't, and that's fine. And we chatted about Remy, and then I started to leave, and I thought, you know what? Can I give this to you to read? You look like somebody. Oh, thank you, sir. God bless you. Don't know where she is with the Lord, but you know what? You have to have the sensitivity to put those in your pocket. First, you have to have the sensitivity to take them home. Pastor, can we get some in the rack again soon? I know that's on the agenda. Put them in the car or purse, right? All of those things, the sensitivity to be used. There are times that I've gone to go in the store and I've got to be ready. There are times that I've come out without. And I prayed for them that they would hear the gospel, but I knew that I should have shared. There are times when I've driven miles with my family back because I just knew God wanted me to leave a track there. Philip responded each time. And as you and I develop that sensitivity to our wonderful Holy Spirit of God, just imagine the open doors and the other opportunities that we'll have. And I'd like to hear the story. Start, you know, as you have that opportunity and you see that and you say, okay, Lord, and you surrender and you prepare and you're ready and you respond and you share. I'm not saying nobody does that. I'm saying maybe we could do this more. Respond to the Holy Spirit each time. Sense and obey. Sense and obey. Sense the Spirit's leading and obey. And then we see his sensitivity to the African. We'll use our current word for that country. And Philip ran thither to him, verse 30, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? Great question. In fact, questions are so helpful when talking with people. One of the things that it's great to know is what are they thinking? Sometimes we can get in a hurry to share what we know, but we can tailor the word, if you will, not the word, but our presentation of it to their specific needs if we know what they're thinking. And Philip asked Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except somebody guide me? And Luke goes on in sharing the scripture in Isaiah 53, and the question is asked. Well, let's read it. This is, by the way, a great passage to take people to and when witnessing to them. Verse 31, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? This of himself or of some other? The next phrase tells us that Philip was listening. Then Philip opened his mouth. There was a period of moments or seconds or something where Philip was listening. And again, I see that as a helpful part of evangelism, and certainly an example that we see here. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing, saved and baptized, and a few miles headed back home. What a joy. What if they get saved? Philip spoke. It seems that he listened well. He was sensitive to God. We should run at the slightest hint of the Spirit's leading. Be sensitive to people. I've read this somewhere, something along these lines. Fear their eternal condemnation by God, not their possible rejection of you and me. Fear their eternal condemnation by God, not their possible rejection of you and me. Listen to them, care for them, share with them. A number of years ago, one of the ladies of our church had, her father was ill. Ron lived over on this side of the state of Vermont, and Lynn and I were headed to a basketball game. I think Mandy was in a basketball game, and we thought, you know, let's see if we can stop in and see Ron, and we were welcome to stop in, and we got in there, their little mobile home up on the side of a mountain, and his wife was there. Ron was in a chair. Oxygen mask turned right up. He was failing. It was a January. And I walked in and we sat down, and it wasn't hard to strike up a conversation with Ron about spiritual things. But I asked him those questions that we've gone through, and I said, Ron, to you, who is Jesus? And he said, He is my, and he stopped. He said, he is the Savior. We went on in our conversation. At some point, we're going through the Romans Road, and I shared with him Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. He reached over and he pulled a card off his counter there that he had been. He says, I've been thinking about this one. And I just pointed out the basic truth in there, that it's not of works, it's of faith. And Ron sat back in his chair with his head back, and I shut my mouth. And I could tell he was thinking, and the Spirit of God was convincing him of that scripture. And when he brought his head back up, we went on a little further. I've never seen an experience quite like this. Shared some more scripture. I felt so unnecessary. And not in the way, but that God was really working in his life. And we worked through the Romans Road, and I can't remember if we prayed. I don't know. I think I prayed with him at the end, but his understanding and the little conversation that we had, there was enough conversation, and it was significant and meaningful, led me to think something significant took place in his life. And I said to him, I said, Ron, who is Jesus Christ? And he said, he is my Savior. I didn't ask him if he wanted to trust Christ. I knew God was doing something, and for some reason, on this particular instance, I felt like I might interrupt something. I think I prayed with him in a general way, said goodbye, went to the basketball game. I said, I think Ron might have just gotten saved, and I found out later that's what happened. As God leads us to be sensitive to people, it's not all that, but there is an element of being sensitive that we see here with Philip. He was sensitive to God. We should be moving. Peter goes to Samaria. We should be moving from our home out to visit others. Philip goes to the desert. We should be sensitive to obey God's leading to visit as he directs. Thirdly, Philip goes to the cities. Can I back up and show you? The scripture tells us that Philip was found here or found himself here. I suggest that he was miraculously put there, but and then he speaks in these cities and he stops at Caesarea. Philip goes to the cities, and here we find, I think, an observation that says we could be focused in our visiting. Look at verse, what observations can we make in verse 40? But Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Can I share three observations with you? He kept moving, suggested by the words passing through. He kept moving. He didn't stop in one city. Not to say we shouldn't, but his example is he kept moving. He kept speaking, preached in all the cities, sharing. He kept order. He kept order, all the cities, until he came to Caesarea. You agree with me those observations could be made from that verse? He kept moving, passing through. He kept speaking. He preached. He kept order in all the cities. What if as a church we followed Philip's example out of this area? To keep moving, to, you know, in the street or in the neighborhood or in the town, to keep moving, to going from home to home or door to door or event to event where we can meet people and talk with people. What if we keep speaking and you know, in our visiting, sometimes it's with believers and other times it's with unbelievers, but we strive to learn and grow and develop in our habit of sharing Christ with people. What if we followed Philip's example that way of keep speaking? What if we, you know, this I find interesting. If we follow Philip's example at keeping order and to the degree where there's some measure of, rather than a haphazard approach to outreach, there's some measure of keeping track and, you know, setting dates and making arrangements and appointments and somewhat of a record of where we've been and where we need to go, who we visited and who we need to visit, that people don't get left out. Be focused. I think this tells us some things, doesn't it? Philip goes to the cities. To be focused, this goes back to when we've talked about it. Christine mentions that every now and then we need to get it on the calendar. Get our calendars out, plan it, do it, maybe record it, plan the next one, the next visit. Maybe get a map out and cover the streets. Pastor's working on a mailer to let people know that our church has moved to this area. Some door-to-door work could be very helpful and other outreach events and community events. You know, there's a number of ways that we can visit and seek to reach out where God has put us. Will you pray with me that God would make us more like Philip? Can we pray together that God would start a visiting ministry or develop the current one further out of our church? I'm not sure what it's going to look like, but I think God is doing something. Pastor's been preaching and others have talked about visiting and wanting to visit. God's doing something, I thought it would be good to say, here's an opportunity. Maybe some people would respond to that. In fact, if you'd like to, come see me later today, and we'll try to get some opportunities or people to visit, and we'll get some kind of start to this, a meager start by the power of God. Will you pray for God to make us like Philip and pray that God would develop a visitation ministry out of our church? I'm going to ask Joe to pray in closing our Sunday school class, please, Joe.